Yeah, get it out. We don't have a sneeze button.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
We don't have a sneeze.
Hey, guess what, boys?
Let's go.
There is no intro tonight. None whatsoever for some reason.
And we're live.
Yeah, but I'm going to.
This is the Sports Porch, Black and Gold, with your hosts, the technical director, the Grand Schwabini, and Hockey Jesus. Come on, Pittsburgh. Let's show a little Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates love. The Sports Porch Black and Gold starts now.
Exactly right. The Sports Porch Black and Gold, it starts right now. It is 7 p.m., in case you haven't noticed, on a Monday night. And we got a little news. We are moving back to the future to 7 p.m. on Monday nights, right?
Good move.
Are we good with that, guys?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good move for all of us.
And for some reason, the
crowd can catch up.
The intro video didn't load because somebody removed it from the video
clips.
I'm going to blame Hockey Jesus.
Yeah, because I don't use it in my Hockey Jesus. Yeah. And now that we're using the one format.
Right.
Maybe if the technical director
would have looked at it before 10 seconds prior to the program, maybe that could have been solved sooner.
I was just making an assumption that an up-and-coming professional down here, by the way, who is Hockey Jesus.
Perfectly for me.
Hockey Jesus right down here. And then right up here is whatever his name is, the Grand Schwabini. I'm your technical director. Yoho-san is already in the house. If you're here, drop a comment. That would be awesome. Also, if you're here and you want to take part in the show, you can hop onto this link I'm putting in the comments. You'll show up in the green room if you got something you want to say. That link always works. So follow that link if you want to be part of the show. Hey, guys, what are we going to do? Well, of course, it's that time of year. It's football time still, thank God. We are going to talk some Steelers, big win over the Bengals. Was it really a big win over the Bengals?
You mean the Browns.
Or, jeez, the Browns.
We're playing the Bengals on Thursday.
Already thinking about Thursday.
We beat the shit out of the Browns
again,
on Sunday.
Preparation lacking.
So listen,
Are you all right over there?
I already lost one job this week. I don't need the pressure. Okay?
Did you lose
your job?
Yeah. I was a producer of another show and I got fired.
That's what happens when you don't watch sports.
No, I still do the other job.
Right.
I still do that.
Okay.
So if you're watching this live, you're watching this on Facebook, YouTube, and X. Just want to give you guys fair warning. We're gravitating over to YouTube probably primarily sometime within the next month and a half. So we're going to do a bunch of shows on Facebook and on X that are still live, but we'll remind you, drop a subscription down on YouTube at the Sports Porch Podcast. That's where you're going to find us most of the time. We're going to do our shorts on YouTube. We're going to do our shorts on TikTok as well. You can also email us at ogsportsporch@gmail.com. I know Brad Tromley for a fact said he was going to at least watch the show tonight because he messaged me happy birthday on Facebook 2 weeks ago. I don't look at my Facebook messages because I just don't use Messenger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why would you?
Why would I? So anyway, I saw it today. And I responded, he did receive his package.
That's
so
good.
We're lucky.
We all knew that.
Yeah, it only took 3 weeks.
We got it there.
That's all that matters. Yeah. We got it there.
And I got
just like the Steelers got there this weekend.
Okay. They sure did.
So I want to try something new, new. These guys have no idea what I'm about to do
here. Oh, God. Hope it's not a SpongeBob video.
It's not a SpongeBob video.
a Taylor Swift, maybe?
I think that's one of the reasons I got fired on the other show was SpongeBob video.
That certainly contributed to it. Yeah.
No. If you got some gear from us in the last few weeks, some of our draft gear, we do have a new website, sportsportshop.com. We're going to push that a little bit more next week. We'll have more products and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what I want you to do. If you got some of our gear, you guys out there, take a picture wearing it or somebody you think would look good or funny wearing it. Not funny in a mocking way, just like, look, my grandma's wearing the sports porch.
Or like your dog.
Hat or whatever. Right. Send us the picture. Email it to us. I'll put the email up again, ogsportsporch@gmail.com. Email it to us. And the best picture will get a bottle. Schwaber's going to appreciate this. A bottle of this incredible Nashville Hot Rub.
Oh,
Curlyfied Creations.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is now this is not a Pittsburgh thing. Okay, I just want you guys to know that
Curlyfied.
We have a good friend over in the eastern part of the state, Curly's Comfort Food in Levittown, PA. We go out there for a cheesesteak once a year. And he gave us a whole case of this.
Holy moly.
And I put it on some chili my wife made last night.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it elevated.
That's good.
100%. Yeah. Like, not even kidding around. 100%. This is, he's not sponsoring us, but we got to give these away. I got like,
there you go.
Like,
I'll take one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There's one for you. So anyway, so email us
his
a picture of you and your draft gear. And the best one will get this. Curly's hot sauce that
I should have one too. I was there and I introduced you.
Well, the whole box is right outside the door.
Can we get to some football?
Of course we can.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. Yes. I love food.
This is what's called warming up the audience.
I love talking about swag.
This is warming up the audience.
Some people don't need warming.
I feel like
they just want to talk.
It's like you're having a ham sandwich.
All right. So this is what I want to do. We're going to talk Steelers. Of course we're going to talk Steelers right now because... Well, you know, they beat the Browns. HJ had some thoughts on this that we want to go over.
Please.
I'm going to put these up here. But what I want to do first is I just want to put this graphic that I pulled from an Instagram account called Steelers Wire. They have a lot of followers. But these are the stats from the game. OK, so 23-9, 335 total yards of offense to 248 for the Browns. The Browns did have one more first down, 20-19, 65 net yards rushing to the Steelers, 100, 183 net yards passing to the Steelers, 235. Both numbers are better than the negative 17 that Justin Fields accomplished yesterday.
Yeah, it's a weird number.
Third down efficiency,
13-11.
Wow. 6 of 17, 5 of 13 for the Steelers. So I just wanted to put these up there just so we had a sense. You know, the Steelers won this game. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah, they kicked some ass on Sunday. First time in a while, I think you can say that.
Right, but as you said. Is the win over the Browns, is it big or is it just the 22nd consecutive home victory over Cleveland? You know, should we be more hopeful now that they beat up on the Browns, or should it kind of be of course, you know, the Browns offense is horrible. And our defense should have beat the hell out of them because Dylan Gabriel is a rookie and they really, I mean, people were talking about their running back Junkins kind of being good, you know, but so it's kind of like, it's almost, we talk about a trap game for Tomlin. It's almost like a trap recap. Like, does this really signal what we were talking about last week? Could they be in the AFC elite, or is it kind of like, well, they proved they're a better team than the Browns, and probably a much better team than the Browns
right
now, which I don't think was a mystery. So, but what we want to hear your comments on that, and I want to hear your comments on that. So why don't we start with you? This was HJ. This was his idea earlier today. So Grant Schwabini, how do you see that
situation? What is the question exactly?
Is it a big win over the Browns, or is it just another
read
win over the Browns?
Ticker. Read the screen. It's right in front of you.
I think it's just another win over the Browns. I mean, to be honest, I don't even look, this game was never in jeopardy, nor should it have been. I don't believe that Dylan Gabriel is an NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Now you could say it's only his second game. It's too early to tell, blah, blah, blah. But you know, the problem with him is, you know, he doesn't have any, measurables. It's like what he might have in some intangibles. Well, it's just not going to be enough when you're not tall and you don't have a gun for an arm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And you're
no receivers to throw.
You're not fast. Like, he couldn't outrun anybody when he escaped the pocket, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, really. And then if you look at the record of like a Tomlin team versus a rookie quarterback, I mean, it's just a massive. Yeah,
it's like 12-4 or something.
Right. So I think it's better than that.
Yeah.
You know, So, no, I mean, I just don't think, I mean, like, they really don't even have much. It's not even like a Browns team that had, like, there was no Nick Chubb over there, you know, like, you know, they really, they really just don't have much. And to be honest, I really hadn't been aware, but I also think that the Browns offensive line is horrible. Now, granted, I mean,
they had a lot of injuries on their offensive line.
I mean, granted, part of that is, you know, the Steelers can put up a nice pass rush, but still, it just seemed like every play they were getting beaten. You know, it was like he had no time. He was running for his life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think it was just, look, they did what they had to do. They did it convincingly, and it's a good win, because any win in the National Football League is a good win, because on any given Sunday, you can still lose to anybody.
For sure.
So I think they should be happy with the win. But I'm gonna reserve my judgment on kind of what elite level they're at when the schedule starts getting harder.
And it is getting harder. The next three games, well, maybe not next game. Cincinnati.
Right.
I think, you know, anytime you play in a division, you're expected to beat your divisional foe at home, especially when the Browns have literally nothing going for them right now. They have absolutely nothing going for them. They blew it with Deshaun Watson. They're still feeling the ramifications of that. They literally lost. Remember when OBJ was like, wanted to come, and like they had Amari Cooper, and it was like their wide receivers were like, wow, they got some real talent. They want to come here. They didn't do anything with that talent either. Yeah. I mean, it's just
they lost.
The Browns are so terrible.
They gave up on Baker Mayfield, who's now one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
They should have given Mayfield a second contract, and they would have been much better off with him for sure. Yeah. But they just don't run the right schemes. They want to run the ball like the Steelers do, but they can't. I mean, Judkins, with an offensive line, their offensive line is horrible, and I can't wait to talk about our offensive line, as I know that's coming up next. But I have to say, 22 wins in a row, 22 seasons.
Yeah. Jeez.
You know, think about that. You had kids that were drinking beer at that game last night who have never seen the Steelers lose to the Browns at home when they were born.
Yeah. Thanks for the perspective, HJ.
I mean, you're right. That is a crazy amount of time. That makes that playoff loss to the Browns all that worse.
Right.
Because it's like the only time we lost to them in 22 years was a home playoff game.
Who was the quarterback?
Ben Roethlisberger.
No.
Baker Mayfield.
There you go. Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
You can
look it up, but I don't think it was.
No, you can look it up. You can look it up.
No, I'm giving my perspective on the win.
I will look it up.
So for that reason,
HJ's got a little fire in the belly today.
I think that 22 wins in a row is super impressive. But beating the Browns at home, you have to win that game. That's why I think that this upcoming game is that much bigger, because you're playing it on the road, and anytime you can beat a divisional foe, it's very important, because that just kicks you up another notch in the, you know, possible playoff standings, which now I think the Steelers stand at 76% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too. So I, you know, the biggest mistake the Cleveland Browns have made
it was Baker Mayfield.
Thank you very much. The biggest mistake the Cleveland Browns have made in a virtual barrel filled with big mistakes is letting Baker Mayfield go and treating him the way they did. I mean, that, you know, he was a stabilizing force at quarterback. Now, that being said, who cares about that? 22 victories, straight victories at home. You got to remember, the Browns have had 41 different quarterbacks in the last 25 years. So, you know, they should have won most of those games. I think what I take away from this more is the fact that the Browns' defense is actually pretty good. And we were able to run on that defense. Now, they got 100 yards, I think, exactly, right? Something like
100 yards rushing, exactly.
Yeah, so
the Browns only gave up an average of 75.
Right, so they didn't blow the doors off. So I think the running game still has a little work to do, But they were able to rush against 100 yards against a very good run defense.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers was able to hit passes to DK. He threw some great balls. You know, mm-hmm. that touchdown in the end zone to Hayward was a ridiculously good throw. Just like they said on the broadcast, one of the things you're taught as a quarterback, don't throw across your body. Well, what do the great quarterbacks do? They do that and they succeed. So he's showing not just after five games now, not flashes of the quarterback he was. He's showing that he is still a very good quarterback.
Except for on that deep ball, the DK, when he was wide open.
Yeah.
And he underthrew him.
Well,
that was the only bad ball that I have.
Everybody has bad balls.
That's a chemistry thing, right?
To me, it looked like he didn't have enough arm to make it there.
He just underthrew it.
Yeah, he underthrew it. That's all that was. So, you know, I think that, and on the defensive side of the ball, the important thing is that the defense, well, let's go back to the offense, and we're going to talk about this. I'm just going to put this right up here right now. Broderick Jones shut out Myles Garrett, okay? HJ down here, he says it's time to shut the F up about him sucking now. What's your take in the comments? How do you feel about that? Before we move on to that real quick, Yoho Sun says the Browns QB jersey was brown from getting smashed and pushed around. He also said it's just another win, but the momentum in our division record is sweet, and that's
for sure. Yeah.
That's good. And once again, Boz, I mean, basically he won that game for him, even though he didn't win that game for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, he got all those field goals in the first half, and that's super important. I mean, so when you know you're just laying up to kick the field goal, you can rely on Boz. It's just like automatic almost.
Unless there's a field issue.
Field issue, which now, we'll also get to.
So Broderick Jones shut out Myles Garrett. Is it time to stop saying he sucks? Yes, that was an impressive showing. Did Rodgers get sacked?
No, he did not.
I don't think he got sacked at all. So, yeah, the line as a whole did their job, and Broderick Jones shutting out Garrett. I mean, everybody has a good game once, too. So I'm not ready just yet to say he doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, suck, to be honest, I didn't notice him, which is what you want.
Right.
But I'm also not going to say he's good now because he had one good game.
Right. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Right. So, you know, but it's encouraging.
Yes.
It's encouraging.
Very encouraging. Very encouraging.
I mean, you say just a good game. He played against a Hall of Fame rushing linebacker.
And he
held him to zero sacks in a game where the Steelers had good balance. So although I think the balance helped him, I think he's starting to show that if you would have put him on that left side to begin with, he would be even much better now than he is, you know, only having five games underneath him playing that left side. And I think Fautanu on the other side is also, you know, coming into his own because let's face it, I think he struggled off the bat also. Mm-hmm. So I think having your tackles being able to keep, you know, the quarterback safe, even though the pocket still looks like it's collapsing quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be more important than anything when it comes to the Steelers' success against good teams. Because right now, let's face it, Rodgers is getting the ball out quickly.
Yeah, he's very good at that.
Yeah, and I think that's the way the offense is made up to be able to do that. But eventually, and the Browns roll up more than anybody. So I would have thought that they would have been chucking the ball a little bit deeper because, let's face it, when you got one-on-one, you got DK out there, why not just do it? Mm-hmm. And they did do that early. Let's face you know, some of those behind the shoulder passes mm-hmm. where only he could get, and there was, I think, one deep one where ended up hitting the defensive back right square in his back.
Right.
He wasn't even looking. Yeah. It just happened to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be very important when we play against better teams. Although I do think that their commitment to the run on the offensive side was pretty impressive, even though they only got 100 yards. Everybody was running the ball, and I thought Jaylen Warren was especially efficient in running the ball. He looked like he was running a little bit mad, like he wanted to make sure everybody knew he was the number one running back. And I think for me, he took a notch up in my eyes, the way he was running the ball and, you know, not even fumbling, not even looking like he was fumbling the ball. He had really good control of the ball as he was running hard. And I think that's the most impressive thing that I like about him. They did give Caleb Johnson some touches. He looked like, you know, I think he had a 10-yard run in like the first half, and then he really couldn't get going on the last drive. But I mean, at that point they knew we were going to run through straight time. So you're running into a brick wall there. So I don't fault him for that, but I do hope that means they're going to be bringing him on a little bit more as the year continues to go on. It's still not enough for me. Because when you draft that high, somebody that running back position has to be a little bit more. But we'll see as the year goes on, and hopefully, you know, against Cincinnati, who's a much weaker defense, we'll see a lot more running.
You know, I'm thinking.
I didn't feel like Jalen Warren got enough carries.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not.
I
still think they run Gainwell too much, personally.
Yeah, Yoho's
Gainwell's been showing up pretty good lately.
He has, but that works kind of to my point here.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this.
I think 22 snaps is just too many for him.
So
for Gainwell?
Yeah.
Is that all just offense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, any chance I could join the conversation?
How many total snaps were there? What percent of snaps is that?
It says right here. Team snaps, a 50%, 49.8.
Okay, so
maybe a touch too much.
The offensive line was young coming into the year. Broderick Jones was moving back over to what everybody hopes is his natural position.
I'm sorry, 3 more percentage points than Jalen Warren.
And
see, that shouldn't be
right.
And I think that as the year goes by, Bill Cowher was talking about this on the post game show. I watched that clip. And basically what he's saying, I kind of agree with. They've got a young offensive line that's getting better as the season goes by. That's only going to be better for Aaron Rodgers. It's only going to be better for the running game. And then, as you saw in this game, they did bring Caleb Johnson in a little more. Maybe they're working him in as that line gets better. Maybe that's the strategy. Not saying it is, but that could end up being good. As far as the defense goes, you've got guys that have won Super Bowls. You've got guys that are Pro Bowlers. You've got guys that are probably Hall of Famers. Sooner or later, they're going to work together as well. This is what Cowher was saying. Sooner or later, that defense is going to step up. And once they, because they all know how to play ball really, really well, most of them, the veterans at a high level. So sooner or later, it's going to gel and communicate correctly. This could have been the start of that. Even though it was against a bad Cleveland offense, the fact that you were dominating so well and didn't let them score a touchdown, and sacking people and forcing fumbles. And were there any interceptions? I don't remember.
There were no turnovers for either team.
They forced the ball out. Well,
I will say this.
Washington fumbled.
Dylan Gabriel had about 4 or 5 passes that had chances to be intercepted.
Right.
They weren't.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, you're forcing them to play poorly because you're that good. So, you know, I would consider this to be a little bit of both. Yes, it was just another win against the lowly Browns on home turf. You never know how it's going to work out in Cleveland. But
as long as it doesn't snow.
At the same time, though, this is a game where you look at it and say they should have won. They should have won this game.
And they did by double digits.
And and winning by double digits shows, okay, they're definitely getting better. And that's what you want to see at this point.
I like the fact that their offense scored over 20 points against a really good defense.
Yeah,
I think
exactly
that
right.
That's what I like.
Well, and that was Rodgers showing his moxie. You know, he knows where to put the ball. He knows how to run the offense, and they're definitely letting him run it.
And those 3 field goals in the first half, one of those should have been a damn touchdown.
Yeah,
they should have tried a little bit harder to get into the end zone. But
I agree.
They were laying up a little bit.
I don't know what you guys think, but I did also think that when they called roughing the kicker on the Cleveland player, which extended the drive for the Steelers,
he was blocked into him.
That doesn't really matter. The point that I'm making is that I felt like Cleveland gave up after that. I mean, I'm not saying they gave up, but like their heart sank.
Right. They were getting the ball back.
Right.
They had pretty good field position.
They were in the game.
I think it was 9-0 at that point.
Yeah. It was like 9-3, I think, you know.
So they had a chance to stay in the game.
And then at that point, it was just like, we got to stop them again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's a really good point.
And then they just got pounded. And
Now, one thing I have to bring up is the fact that they're finally using Mount Washington. And yes, he looks like his hands could be a little better. But I got to tell you, that first pass of the game right to him where he was rumbling.
That was really brilliant.
I mean, you get that guy in space and he learns how to hold on to that ball.
He's not going to outrun anybody.
No.
But I tell you what.
He's no fun to tackle.
As open as he was, he does have to watch running with that ball out there a little bit.
Yeah.
At least he was running it on the sidelines, and he was holding it. Because if you're running it on the sidelines with that hand, you could pop it back in the field of play. Yeah. So. And did you see who was right there just in case he fumbled the ball? DK was following him the whole way. Yeah. So he was okay, if he fumbles it, I'm jumping on that thing, or I'm running that bitch into the end zone. Yeah. So that's what I love about DK, even though, you know, didn't need to be anywhere near that play. He was, because he's a smart player, and he looks out for those things.
So the takeaway that from this game offensively, though, for me, is that they were definitely working in the tight ends into the offense in this game.
A lot more, yeah.
A lot more. Austin is out and Metcalf is there. Roman Wilson gets his first catch.
No, brother.
Listen, guys,
do we even have to go there?
We talk about this kind of stuff on the porch.
I mean, Jesus.
And the reason we talk about it is this, we don't hold back. We make the calls that we see them. We're fans, 35 years, 40 years, 50 years watching the Steelers. Watching football in general, probably more like 45 years, but 100+ years. Look, we
150 years combined experience. Yeah,
there you go. Thank you. And
yeah, oh yeah, I've been watching since at least five.
You got to call it like you see it. You got to call it like you see it. We've done this with the Pirates. We've done this with the other Steelers players. HJ certainly does it with the hockey guys, with the Penguins. Look, jump off this Roman Wilson bandwagon.
They clearly don't like the guy.
They like him doesn't matter. They don't think he, well, you're right, what you're saying. They don't think he can play.
So he's not going to play.
And I don't think he can play either. And let's get rid of this idea that somehow if he gets a shot, he's going to be the number two receiver. Now, sorry, would have happened already. I don't know. Maybe it happens on another team. Find a number two receiver. If anything is going to hold this team back as the schedule gets more difficult, which it's going to.
Maybe AJ Brown's available.
It's the number two receiver slot. If Metcalf goes down, they got nothing in the receiving core. Nothing. And look, Rodgers is good, but he ain't that good. You know, he's just not. He's not going to turn Austin into a superstar.
This isn't on the list, but what do you think of that Keyshawn Williams that they picked up? He's running back the kicks, and he ran back that punt for a really nice return.
He's fast.
Yeah, I mean, there was a kickoff return that went really far, but it was called back.
It was called back.
He looks like he's got some burst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Why not?
Fine, throw him out there. I mean, I'm not mocking it. I'm just saying, fine, throw him out there. But throw somebody out there. If Metcalf goes down, you're finished. And as the defenses and the teams get better.
No, I'm not saying as a wide receiver, for Christ's sake. I'm just saying as a returner.
Well,
as a returner. I think that's a step up from what Gainwell was doing. Clearly, they're not going to put Caleb Johnson back there after what happened in the Seattle game.
Right.
He's never going back there, and he shouldn't have been back there to begin with.
But I guess what I'm saying is a lot of times, you know, the returner is a fourth or fifth receiver. Put him out there. He's got a burst. You know, nobody, you know, Austin does have speed, but he's tiny. This guy is a little taller, whatever. And we're talking about the punt returner, the kick returner. They need a number two wide receiver as they go into this,
this
part of their schedule.
I will say that I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what the reason was, but apparently there was a lot more movement than usual last year at the trade deadline. And I've read reports that they're anticipating it to be just as big this year.
They said maybe even sooner.
Yeah.
They're not going to wait till the exact deadline.
Right. They said you could see about 16 names move at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
I don't see any reason why. I mean, there will be one available.
There should be. There should be.
Yep.
Maybe. And it might be AJ Brown. You never know.
How about Ridley?
I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not sold on him. He's better than anything.
Here we go. Now, we go get Calvin Ridley.
You're not sold on Calvin Ridley?
Calvin Ridley is not good.
He's only been a 1,000-yard receiver every year of his career.
I think they should trade for Jamar Chase. You know, Jamar Chase and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, they need to go get Jamar Chase. That makes a whole lot of sense.
I think that they should trade Roman Wilson for Jamar Chase.
I agree, and I think I would do that all day long. All right, before we move on to this next little segment, I want to thank you guys. If you're watching us live right now on Facebook, YouTube, and X, that's awesome. If you're watching us on X or YouTube, hit that subscribe button, follow button on YouTube, the Sports Porch Podcast, at the Sports Porch Podcast. Subscribe, hit notifications every Monday night. New old time, 7 p.m. Eastern time is when we're going to be on here. Theporcheslive.com is our website. We have a shop coming out soon. We're gonna fire that up next week. Email at us at the at ogsportsporch@gmail.com. And I'm going to do this one more time. If you click this link right here that I'm putting in the comments, actually, I'm putting it in the banners right now, boys. But if you click this link right here, I'm putting in the comments, and you want to be a part of the show and you want to engage in the discussion, it'll take you right to our green room, and you can wait for us there, and we'll say hello. Guys, you remember this? This is actually, believe it or not, when I pulled this video up, when you told me about it, Steve, I did not realize that
how old it was.
20 years old.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about this because there was an issue with a non-football or a non-contact injury to one of their best special teamers, Killebrew. And I immediately texted these guys and said, I thought they took care of this years ago.
It might have been it picked. A play looked at just as well as this punch. Brandon Fields struggled earlier, got the wet ball away. Allen Rossum going to let go. And it looks like it's on a tee.
Boy.
If you tee the ball up, you couldn't put it any better.
You can go for the pin today, can't you, Mike? You can take out that 9-iron, go straight for the pin, drop it down, and pluck it. Unbelievable.
Bad feel.
Yeah, that's 2007. What was then known as the field, formerly known as Heinz Field.
Yeah.
And a punt stuck right in the mud. So
and I know that was after a hurricane that blew through. That field was much worse than what we saw yesterday.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was much worse. But did you see that divot? Did you see the divot?
I've never seen a punt where it just lands and it just sticks in the ground.
Well, that was 2007. I'm talking about yesterday as they were leaving the broadcast to cut the commercial.
Yeah.
They kind of focused on the area where he fell and they showed that divot.
Well,
it was like this deep, like 6 inches deep. I mean,
that's what he did when he slid. But did you see, I went back and watched it. He must have taken at least 10 or 15 seconds and he was stepping on the ground all over that area. He knew the ground was not stable. So he was trying to make it more stable by stepping on it. Mm-hmm. And he was down to like, I don't know, maybe like 8 seconds or something. So he knew he had to kick it. But he knew he already knew he was going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell.
Yeah.
Like, and they do have to do something about that. I can't believe that, you know, everybody knows that Pittsburgh stadiums were funded by tax money, right?
Yes.
If you don't, it's true. They instituted a 1% tax in all of Allegheny County so that they could fund stadiums. Since that time, it has brought in over $5 billion worth of revenue. Okay, $5 billion. You would think with that $5 billion, they could set aside some of that money to put a damn turf on the field that will actually allow players not to get hurt and that they don't have to replace it after 12 games every time they play. Because not only do the Steelers play there, but the home team, the Pitt Panthers, also play down there. So it's 12 every 12 games, whether it's the Pitt Panthers or the Pittsburgh Steelers, when it gets to 12, they take the bad turf off, they put some down, and they have to do it at a certain time because supposedly it takes almost 2 weeks for it to take hold so that the new turf will be good. That's ridiculous in the NFL. You got to be able to put down a field that is good enough for NFL players that make billions of dollars combined and keep them safe. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah. And
the money's there. That's my point.
No, it's not. If it was there, they would use it.
There, but they're not spending it on the turf.
Yeah, clearly. It's there, but it's in pockets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The bigger question is $5 billion is what they raked in from that 1% tax.
And counting.
What the hell happened to it? Where did it go?
Ask the Sports Urban Authority.
The city is in such a budget crisis.
Dude, right? There are seven people in charge of that money. Oh, seven people that are appointed by Allegheny County and the city of Pittsburgh.
How do you get on that list?
You got to run for election.
Oh, no, they're appointed.
No, they're appointed. Okay. So how many do you think the Rooney's appoint?
You got to kiss the right ass for that.
Yeah, the Rooney's probably appoint all five, and it doesn't matter who else is on.
That's just speculation, crazy.
But
Mike Lawrence is in the house. What's up, Mike? Hey, glad Boz didn't get injured. That was scary. Yeah. What I'm hoping is that even though he completely realizes the reason he missed, let's hope it didn't get in his head. That's what we don't want to see. We don't need Boz having a little bit of a hiccup here. Although after the last couple years he's had. I mean, come on. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen.
Eventually.
At least they have a guy that can throw. The one thing I love about Aaron Rodgers right now is his interview right before the season started, when camp started, when he said, look, I'm going to throw a lot of touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
And he meant it.
And I'm going to throw a lot of interceptions.
And I'm going to throw interceptions, and I'm going to throw a lot of touchdowns.
Well, you know, Boz has the ultimate endorsement when Tomlin calls him a serial killer because he has ice in his veins.
Yeah. So, I mean, I we all know that wasn't Boz's fault. The field. But yeah, I agree. All that money, put in a real, state of the art turf.
Come on, get it right. I mean, they did fix it compared to 2007. Yeah, that's why we wanted to show you the video.
I think they put drainage in under the field and stuff like that.
Yeah, now it can drain, but now we need to put a turf that will stay there.
They still can't play safe football.
Oh, boy.
Where's the sod father when you need him?
Yeah, seriously, where is the sod father? Chris Chada, here he is. Were you talking about the new stadium in Pittsburgh? I've been hearing about it online.
Oh, boy.
Acrisure is only 24 years old.
That's a whole nother conversation, OC.
It really is. There's all kinds of shit being talked about behind the scenes.
They are replacing all the seats.
Yeah.
We know that's happening.
Which is good. The color is bad.
Yeah. I'm happy they are replacing the seats.
What color would you rather it be?
Just put in freaking white seats.
Anything?
Anything? Yeah. What color are the seats in the Link?
Green, probably. Green's a good color.
In the Link? Boy, it's been a long time since I've been. I think they're gray, actually.
Gray is good. Yeah. Gray is good. It's a nice neutral color.
Already 7-7
in
the Bills.
You can't put in black seats.
You could go like...
They would melt.
You know, at PNC...
on that one side.
Yeah. At PNC Park, they're navy blue, and those look fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's because that's PNC's color.
Yeah, so even though PNC's not paying for the
navy. It's actually not navy blue,
anymore,
it's PNC blue.
I don't think so.
I worked there.
It is PNC
I worked at PNC.
Doesn't mean you know anything.
It's PNC blue.
It's not.
Even though now it's faded after 25 years of being up there.
You want to look that up?
No, it is. I agree with you. I don't need to look it up.
Okay, see, there you go. Yeah. Two against one. You suck. All right. All right. The Porch is Live.com.
You suck.
The Porch is Live.
Like a baby over there.
Porch is Live.com is our website. Please go there and visit. If you're watching us on YouTube, man, listen, we appreciate it. Smash that subscribe button on YouTube. At the Sports Porch Podcast. We got 200 followers now, boys, all up from like 37 of a year ago. So
we need to get their times 20.
Pump it up. Pump it up. That's what we want. What we want is 1,000 subscribers.
Pump it up.
1,000.
We'd like a million.
Toss it out to, what we want is 1 billion subscribers. All billion Steelers fans should be paying attention to the Sports Porch. Why? Because we're fans just like you. We tell it like we see it. We call it. We're not beholden to any enterprise. It doesn't matter what we say because we could say whatever we want. Did that come out right?
That came out perfect. And I just want to give one last
shout
out. You have
some redeeming qualities.
Okay.
I just want to give one last shout out to Chris Chada. If you want to know about the new leases and everything that are up, Jeremy Reynolds from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette had a really good article on October 12th. Check out that article. It goes into great detail about what's going on behind the scenes now and, how they've been funded and how they've wasted all our money as Allegheny County taxpayers. But it's a really good expose. You should read that.
All right. Excellent. Excellent work. Okay, we're going to move on to Porch Picks. What are Porch Picks? Well, Porch Picks are our picks for the upcoming NFL weekend. We pick the Thursday night game, we pick the Sunday night game, and we pick a random Sunday game, and then we compile all of our records to see who is the best at the end of the year. And then there is no penalty for losing, which I think is really like wimpy like of all of us. I think there should be a penalty.
You're a child.
And it isn't the whole point, like, okay,
to no. win something?
I'm an adult.
Yep. All right. So porch picks.
It's bragging rights.
All right. Last week, Thursday night, we all had the Eagles over the Giants.
Oh, wow. Boy. The Eagles. Wow.
We really kind of missed that one.
Didn't see 31 Sunday, coming out of Scatabo.
Sunday, 49ers at the Bucks. Mark and Chris had the Bucks. Steve had the Niners. Sunday night.
I blew that, by the way. I had Baker blowing it up. He blew it up.
Yeah, Mark had Detroit. Steve and Chris had Kansas City. That puts our weekly record right now at this. The TD, that is me, 10-8. HJ, 10-8.
Why Grant did you put Trabini, yourself first?
8-10, because I'm the TD, because I get to decide.
H comes
first.
Before T.
I don't give a shit about the
it's
alphabet.
It's always alphabetical order.
You don't need an alphabet tied. Anymore. We have our phones. We don't need to remember anything. We don't need to spell anything. Shit, we don't even need to read anything anymore, all right?
So, we don't even have to make these picks, but we're going.
Hop off! here's one thing that we did talk about earlier. Actually, I'll save that for after the porch pick.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, so the Thursday night game is one that we are all
interested.
Just dying to see because it is the return of Joe Flacco in a Bengals uniform. Or now he's not coming back here, but to play against the Steelers. So the Steelers at the Bengals. Now, I'm going to say this. We don't have to follow our picks from our overall record.
Well, yeah, you want to be wishy-washy about it.
No, sure. I just want to say, you know, let's talk about who's going to win. Thursday, Steelers at Bengals, your pick in the comments. HJ was 1-2. Mark was 1-2.
You get to go first.
I was 2-1. I am going to take the Steelers. Anybody else? Grant Schwabini?
I will also take the Steelers.
Well, unlike you losers, I am not going to go away from the pick that I took at the beginning of the season, and I will stick with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh. You think they have one game of
trying to play it?
Whoa, Flacco, he could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly, but I
don't know.
I don't know.
After the,
I don't know. I think our defense is playing very well. But I'm just sticking with what I went with. I don't necessarily believe it, but I'm going to stick with it.
Well, see, we can change it because things have changed.
Yeah,
I think
know.
If Burrow was still slinging the ball, then, you know, I might be inclined to go with Burrow depending right. on what the
why would you go with the bump? I mean, the guy barely plays football.
Well, you're
he
going
sucks
with his
all
team.
The money out of Cincinnati.
Here we go again.
And it's he's like, never getting them back to a Super Bowl ever again.
I think Steve needs therapy over this Joe Burrow situation.
I mean,
what about you?
Prove me wrong.
Well, he's saying prove me wrong.
I am. So, okay. That's it. Cincinnati. Steve takes Cincinnati. The Sunday game is not the 49ers at Bucks. That was last week. The Sunday game this week.
The Los Angeles the Rams
at
the Jacksonville Jaguars.
In London, no, however.
That's the Sunday game, not that's the Sunday night game.
Yeah, that's what I said. The Sunday game. Rams at Jaguars. That's
it's
in London.
Jaguar.
Well, that's how the Brits say it. They say Jaguar.
And it is in London. So.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. As Sunday. Rams at Jaguars. London's. Apparently there's
Jaguar
multiple,
in it.
There's multiple Londons.
In it.
My pick, Rams at Jaguars. You know, there's no home field advantage because it's in London. I'm going with the Jags, though. They beat Cincinnati.
What?
Or they beat Kansas City.
Get
I think I'm going with the
You're
Jags.
Going with the Jags?
Yep. You're picking the comments. You're picking the comments. I am serious.
I am going to take those Rams.
As am I. I think Jacksonville's due for a letdown.
Thank you, Chris. That gets me one back in the game.
You're welcome. Sunday Thank night you. Game is Atlanta. The Falcons, who are currently
tied with the
tied
Bills.
With the Bills.
The Falcons are at San Francisco. Ooh. Falcons at the 49ers.
There will be no Fred Warner.
No Fred Warner. He's out for the year.
Out for the year. Will Purdy be back? Was he back this week at all?
No, he's not back.
So we're thinking Purdy next week, maybe.
He didn't sound like he was going to be back.
Well, it's important to know because
it really is. One of us, Mac Jones, has not been.
Well, one of us definitely feels that Purdy is a Hall of Fame potential entrant, first ballot,
definitely.
So, kind of need to know if he's starting.
Yeah, we're not going to need. We're not going to have that information in front of us.
Mike
Lawrence
says the Rams. Stafford will shine. By the way. I am saying that it is going to be the 49ers. I think the Falcons are bad. That's my pick, the 49ers.
They could beat Buffalo tonight.
Yeah, we'll see.
Where is this game?
In San Francisco.
I will take the 49ers.
I'm going to make it a trifecta. San Francisco in San Francisco.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Four touchdowns by CMC.
Now, here's one thing going all the way back to our Steelers conversation. Chance of making the playoffs, the Steelers 76%, the Bengals currently 8%. Why worry about this game?
I don't know. I don't think we should worry about it. That's why we should worry about it.
Yeah.
It's really? Not really a concern, but any division game, you never know. Yeah. Throw out the records.
Yeah.
Yep. Look at what happened to the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
they lost to the lowly Giants.
They did.
Yeah. Cam Scadaboo was still doing flips in the end zone.
Yeah, tonight.
And didn't do in his shirt.
No. I hope they knock his head off in 2 weeks.
All right. Go to theporcheslive.com. You can also subscribe to us at the Sports Porch Podcast on X at the Sports Porch One, theporcheslive.com. Hit that subscribe button, notifications, and we drop the podcast right after the show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your friggin' podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast. Send us comments. Chris Chata comments on Spotify all the time. I check them and try to respond. And Chris, if you could leave us a review, that'd be really great. That'd be really awesome. If anybody could leave us a review.
The Chata.
So to underneath me on the screen.
Oh, actually, that sounds bad.
Is Hockey Jesus. And Hockey Jesus is going to preach on the podcast. Hockey Jesus preaches on the podcast after every single freaking Penguins game throughout the regular season and through the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Amen.
You can catch him at the Sports Porch Podcast on YouTube after every single game, and he drops that podcast. Hockey Jesus, tonight you are going to talk a little bit about the first three games, 2-1. Looked good in the first game, not bad in the second game. Kind of got their ass handed to him in the third game. But what you're saying is you're going to preach a little bit on the difference between the 4-1 victory over the Rangers in game one and the 6-1 loss to the very same team back here in Pittsburgh. So
yes.
Lay it on us, Hockey Jesus. Preach.
Well, I have to say, I'm actually pretty happy with their start. You know, 2-1 to begin with.
Sure.
We'll absolutely get you in the playoffs. And if you do that all season long, there's just nothing really to be concerned about. The second line, I'm going to skip the first line for now because the first line is really where I'm going to focus. The second line's been great. Malkin's been playing with Anthony Mantha and Justin Brazeau. I'm not going to go into detail about Brazeau, but I can tell you that that line is absolutely ginormous. Everybody in that line's over 6'3". Colby Armstrong nicknamed it the Shrek line. He called it the monster line last night, so I don't really know it actually has an identity yet, but let's just say there are a bunch of big boys out there. Now, on the third line, you got Benjamin Kindle. Kindle is our rookie that we just drafted this year, and he's been playing lights out. He's been great. Already has a goal as a rookie, has an assist. So he's got 2 points in three games. And for a rookie who really wasn't even supposed to play this year, to me, I think he's been playing lights out. He's playing with Tommy Novak and Philip Hallander right now. Those linemen are okay, but I just like the fact that that line has a lot of speed and nobody really knows how to play against them because the book's not out on them yet. And I think they've been playing great as a third line. And the fourth line's been a bunch of nobodies, but Blake Luzzatt is like a water bug out there. He is going to run and hit you. He's going to get hit. He's just a big pest. And you need every good hockey team needs a pest.
Like a lantern fly?
Yes, like a, you know, those lantern flies. You hate the way they look. You just you just want to hit it, and you go to punch it, and then you miss it, and like you hurt your hand. And now you're even more pissed off. Exactly like that.
Yes, yes.
And he's playing with Nolichari and Connor Dewar. Connor Dewar was somebody they picked up at the end of last year. And, you know, they're playing okay. And I'm going to get back to the first line here in 1 second. I just want to go over the defensive lines. Harrison Brunicki is our a rookie who probably is going to stay. He's been playing on the third. He's been playing on the third line with Caleb Jones. Letang's been playing with Shea on the second. And Carlson's been playing with Watherspoon. Now, okay, let me get to the difference between winning 4-1 and losing 6-1. The difference is twofold. The first one is Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson was playing great in the first two games, allowing him to skate around and do whatever he wants and having a responsible defenseman behind him to be able to take care of any odd man breaks. Now, there weren't any odd man breaks in the 6-1, but Parker Watherspoon, he's not the guy you want to have with Erik Karlsson. Mm. He's not a great defenseman, let's face it. And eventually, when Karlsson does his stuff, he's going to fall apart, and part of the falling apart is having Watherspoon paired with Karlsson. That's not going to go away anytime soon. The other problem was Chris Letang got injured in that 6-1 game, so he only played about half the game. I think he's making the West Coast trip, but he's still injured, so that could be a problem. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. I don't really know. I don't have an update on that, but I'm pretty sure he's going to end up making the trip. Here's the difference with the first line. On the first line, you had Raquel Crosby and Ville Koivunen playing on the first line in the first two games that they won. Koivunen wasn't great, but it made Sidney and Raquel think about what they were doing out on the ice. What happened in the game against the New York Rangers that they lost at home, Crosby and Raquel get so comfortable with Russ being out there. They just do stupid shit. They just pass the puck blindly through the middle, like, oh, I know Rust is going to be there and he can get to it. And even when he doesn't, it goes the other way, like in a split second. And there's no thinking going on. And then they don't get back because, you know, they just get lazy. Honestly, they just get too familiar with each other. And case in point, Brian Rust was a -3, and everybody on the announcers were like, well, of course you have to put him in there if he's healthy. I don't think you do. I think at this point, if you got Koivunen as a young kid and he needs to play on the first line with Sidney and Raquel, or I don't even care if you play Kindle up there on the first line with Crosby and Raquel, and you move Rust down to the third line, you can't just automatically put those three guys together because either Sid wants to do it or it seems like the right thing to do, because it really absolutely wasn't the right thing to do. And part of the reason they lost 6-1 was that exactly, that familiarity with the first line where it was like, you just have to put it together. They haven't done anything by the book yet. And I think that's part of the problem. The third part of the problem is it's always about goaltending, right? Shiloff didn't look great when they played in New York. He didn't look great when they played in New York at home. And honestly, Jarry didn't look great when they played against the Islanders on Thursday night. But he put it together in the third period and actually played pretty solid enough to get them the win. So, as always, good goaltending will save the day. And they didn't get any good goaltending. And their first line decided to basically just play a game that they're just familiar with, which isn't going to be good enough going down into the future. That being said, this week we are headed to the West Coast.
Oh boy.
The left coast.
Oh no. That's right. So that means we have a 10:30 PM start on Tuesday. Thursday is a 10 o'clock start. So about the time the Steelers will be hopefully wiping the shit out of Cincinnati, you can just go over and put on Sportsnet Pittsburgh 360. And start watching a hockey game. Or you can probably skip the first period and catch the last two. And then, fortunately, the third and the last leg of that is at San Jose at 10 o'clock. But that's a Saturday night.
Thank God.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. So At Thank least, you, Jesus. At least the schedule gods gave us a little bit of a break, and there are only two games that will absolutely ruin my Wednesday and Fridays.
I just can't wait for this. I can't wait. Right now, the excitement is palpable. You could taste it. You could feel it.
It's fun to watch a new team.
I'm wondering when we're on like game 57. And it's in Vancouver, and it's 2 a.m, and they lost. 57. And they lost 5-4, and they're maybe close to being actually eliminated.
Actually, game 57's at Vegas.
Okay, so close enough.
It's a 10 p.m. start, though.
There you go. So you know, like if they're like on an amazing run, and it looks like they could make the playoffs, this is going to be an exciting thing for you.
This is going to be exciting at least until Thanksgiving. Everybody knows that Thanksgiving's the cutoff day for some damn reason. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're in it at Thanksgiving, you're going to be in it. I don't believe that to be true, but it always proves me wrong every year.
I just go back to the year I did the Buccos report and said I would do it until they fell back below 500. Mm-hmm. And after about 15 of them, I was like, will they please fall back below 500 soon?
Two quick now, questions.
This is different, but go ahead.
Two quick questions, both from Chris Chata. A newly forming hockey fan, congratulations. Welcome to the club. You can tell there's new energy. Absolutely. I mean, anytime you bring new players up, if you like to watch the game of hockey, it's fun to watch new players come in, especially when they're playing okay hockey. And what's my take on the kind of team the Penguins are? A big team, a fast team, a physical team, a finesse team. They're a young team, and that's much different than they have been in the past. But they're a young team with old guys, if that makes sense.
Right.
The core of their team are still old guys. And what's really interesting is you're going to have that nostalgia still with, you know, Malkin being in his last season. You saw it in opening night, you know, with the big three out there and the whole 20 years together, never been done before in North American sports and all that. I'm honestly getting a little tired of it. What I will not get tired of is when Sid hopefully gets to the point where he breaks Mario Lemieux's record. I think that's pretty incredible. You saw Nate MacKinnon do it just recently in Avalanche. It broke Joe Sakic's record. That's how good Mario Lemieux was. Like, Sidney Crosby's played for 20 some years and he's finally getting to the record of Mario Lemieux. MacKinnon's going to be playing for probably another 8 years. He's going to kill Sakic's record. Yeah. So it just goes to show you that there are some franchises that, you know, their superstars are coming now. Our superstars were not only now, but in the past. And honestly, as a hockey fan, I feel very fortunate to have that the last 25, 30 years, 40 years for that matter. And I'm just hoping, put it this way, these guys that are coming up now, Kindle and Koivunen and Brunicki, they're not superstars. They're not of the level of Mario Lemieux, but they're good pieces to a puzzle that can be solved. But they're still going to have to go get a superstar if they want to become the old Penguins that we know that won cups. They're not there yet, but it's fun to watch a team, you know, evolve. So I would say they're an evolving team. They're not a big team. They're not a fast team. They're an evolving.
That was a hell of a lot for three games.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what it's going to be like after 77 games.
Yep. I wonder what it's going to be like at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's why I think you should do it live, because, you know, the hardcore people, they'll be up. They'll watch you.
Yeah.
They might
watch
be.
You. Give us a thumbs up or something in the comments if you're going to watch HJ live after the show. Because he doesn't do it live right now. He does the show and then he uploads it. But if he did it live, he wouldn't have to upload it to YouTube. He'd only have to upload it to Spotify. But that being said,
that's an advantage.
HJ tomorrow night, West Coast tomorrow
West
night.
West Coast. All right. I'll be on
first
probably
late night HJ.
Probably early Wednesday morning.
Look, if you have any problems, you're completely on your own, because I will be sawing logs in my bedroom after a blissful cinnamon bun or something like that.
How does that mean?
Terrible. That means I'm going to eat a cinnamon bun and fall asleep while I'm watching TV at like 11 o'clock.
Well,
why does that sound so terrible?
It just, the whole thing was unappealing.
So,
all right, listen.
If you're watching us on YouTube right now, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We're at the Sports Porch Podcast. We're going to be moving things over to YouTube over the coming weeks, so we're going to be exclusively there. That's where we want to build our audience. That's where we want to give back more to you. If you're on X, hit the follow button, but hit the subscribe button on YouTube and the notifications. You'll know when we go live, which is now back to 7 p.m. Eastern time every single Monday
night.
I
think you might have just talked me into doing these live.
Okay, awesome. That's what I'm trying to do, talk you into something. All right, look, this is Curlified Creations. This is Nashville Hot Rub.
Did you just steal my rub?
I did steal your rub. What's the rub, buddy? What's the rub?
You got it.
If you got some merch from us recently, we handed out a lot of free merch. We're going to give out some more. It's probably especially next week since we're going to announce the our Sports store. Send us a picture wearing the merch. We'll pick one of the pictures. We'll send you some of this Nashville Hot Rub. Listen, this stuff is good. Dude, you should open it up and just smell it.
I did. You can peeled it back a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually really good.
It does. It smells great.
No joke. We're just going to keep giving shit away until people decide they want to watch us. All right.
That's what everybody does, Chris.
What we're doing right now is something we call what we're watching. And what is that? Schwaber, do you want to take a stab at it, or you want me to run through it real quick?
We'll let you run through it because you've sort of had an off show. So I want you, maybe you can kind of make it up a little bit.
Have a good show ever?
You've had good shows in the past.
There's been some spots here and there.
Okay. All right. So what we're watching, what is this? This is where we give back to you. You'll spend a lot of time sifting through all the trailers on Netflix, Hulu, Prime, all the streaming services. Hell, I think I pay more now per month than my cable bill used to be.
Streaming's gotcha.
Listen, here's what you can do.
Especially if you don't want to watch the ads.
You watch our show. You watch to the end. We do all the searching for you. We watch the shows for you. We tell you how we feel. If it's bad, we tell you it's bad. If it's good, we tell you it's good. It doesn't have to be your decision. You can look like a superstar, and we give back to you that 45 minutes that you use watching those dumb trailers on those streaming shows. This week, I'm going to go with me first because I do have one last very quick segment as we exit. I'm going to add it. These guys don't know about it, but something struck me today, and I'm just going to do it. We'll see what happens.
Oh, boy.
It happens. We have no control over this.
I hope it's kid-friendly.
So what we're watching, now you guys have been waiting for me to do this, so I think just by saying that, you already know. Orphan Black, I have finished the entire series.
Holy moly. That's
guys,
a commitment.
I actually finished it today, about 45 minutes before you guys got here.
Which one's the orphan?
Orphan Black. They're
the one in her belly?
They're technically all orphans.
Oh.
This show ran. Didn't see that coming. Yeah, this show ran from 2012 through 2017.
It's an oldie.
It was on AMC, but it is now on Netflix. It's played by Orphan Black. The main character is one actress, Tatiana Maslany, I think. She plays like seven or eight different versions of herself. She's a clone. So it gets into dark.
That's what you told us. Yeah, I remember.
And basically, it's a whole thing about eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
How there's this secret eugenics program and like the government's involved and corporations are involved and scientists are involved. Mm-hmm. And they clone all these women and then they also clone all these men. And it's an evolution of how these women, what they realize is that their DNA has been patented. Ooh. So they are actually owned by this corporation. And ooh, so boy. Are the men. And there's
sounds troubling.
Look, can they think for themselves?
There's a lot of intrigue. Yes. There's a lot of intrigue. It's really good. The acting is tremendous. Mm-hmm. And the lead actress, Tatiana, is really unbelievable. I mean, she plays through the entire 5-year series, constantly in every show, five versions of herself, convincingly.
I hope she got paid millions. Mm.
And then
five orphans.
There's 238 of them.
I hope we don't get to meet all of them.
You don't, but you do meet a decent amount of them.
How many seasons?
How good was it, Chris? Five.
It was really good. First 2 years, excellent. Third and fourth year, it kind of started to level off a little bit. So going into the fifth year, I wasn't going to review it season by season. I wanted to finish the whole thing. Going into the fifth year, I had high hopes, but I was worried. But it ended really, really well.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you guys, and I'm a fan for you guys out there listening and watching who either stopping by for the first time, please subscribe.
High hopes.
Or
he's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
Okay, cool. So
anytime you're feeling low.
Am I going to hear the whole song?
No, okay. That's enough.
Speak. Sometimes this show was actually really very, very popular at the time. And what I noticed is 2012, think about the political climate, if you can remember it. By 2017, the show had gone a little bit more woke. Now, it's if you're not a fan of that,
an agenda,
but it was very subtle because it wasn't the madness from 2016 on, but 2017, you know, they're filming in 2016. Anyway, it was very, very popular at the time. I actually like to wait on some really popular shows. I like to give them 3 or 4 years before I watch them because I want to see if they have staying power. If I watch this now, is it good enough that I'll be like, yeah, I would have watched it back.
So
then.
You have restraint. You hold back. You're like,
I won't touch. I won't. Gonna hold back on
like
that one.
That's like a bourbon I ain't touching for 5 years.
Oh my God.
I'm putting that one on the shelf.
All right. I do so like that Orphan brown Black, liquor. Orphan Black on Netflix. Listen, guys, I highly recommend it. 2 thumbs up from me. I think you guys would like it.
Okay.
So give it a whirl. The Grand Schwabini is watching something. I wanted to watch this. I haven't yet. This is also on Netflix. Go ahead.
The Madness.
I love that guy.
Yeah, Coleman Domingo.
Yeah,
from Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah,
so he's the star of this one. And it was really good. I mean, it was just a complete surprise to me. Like I was, you know, I was going through those trailers like we do for our folks, and I was like, well, this seems like a good one. I'm like, I feel like I never seen it or nobody said anything to me about it. It's just a one seasoner. It's somewhere between 8 and 10 episodes. So you can get through it pretty quick.
What is The Madness about?
What The Madness is about is it's actually really kind of neat. It's like, so Coleman Domingo is, a guy who, has been like a guest on like CNN News. And they're thinking about giving him his own show.
Okay.
And so he's a real like left guy.
Gotcha.
Okay. And, you know, so he basically goes on TV and he says a bunch of controversial things, you know, that get, you know,
stirred up.
Conservative people get stirred up by it. Right.
Good ratings so, that way.
So anyway, he's just, you know, like he's, you know, he's also writing a book, you know, and he goes away for the weekend just to get some quiet, rents this cabin. Right. And then it turns out that, the power goes out and there was a guy who had pulled up to him the other day and he's like, hey, you're the guy on TV, aren't you?
And he's,
and he's like, yeah,
that's what I saw in the trailer.
And he's like, yeah. And he's just like, hey, well, you know, if you ever need anything, I'm just right down the road. Right. Turns out that this guy is like the biggest guy of like Aryan Nation. Okay. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff.
Boy.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on in terms of like what big company is sort of behind the scenes, you know, feeding them money and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, there were some disagreements between him and one of the CEOs. And basically he gets murdered. And it just so happens that Coleman Domingo ends up because the power went out, he goes down there and then he sees the murderers.
Right.
And so he he runs, he escapes, he gets away, and now they've sort of changed their plan to, well, we should frame him. He's the perfect guy to do it.
Right, 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 right. Yeah.
And so he's kind of like on the run and, you know, and trying to find his way out of it the whole time. Oh, okay. It was really cool. It was good.
Well done.
It was good. Yeah. You'd really like, I think you both really like it.
One season. Yeah.
That's right up my alley.
And I love him as an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a real good actor.
Holman Domingo, Grant Schwabini, The Madness on Netflix. Brad Trombley is in the house. Good evening, Brad.
Good to hear from you, buddy.
What's up, Brad? Listen, if you didn't hear earlier, send us a picture of your swag and you might get a bottle of this Nashville hot rub from a friend of ours out on the eastern side of the state at Curly's Comfort Food. This is some great stuff, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's mine. Just don't forget.
I know it's yours. I've already tried it. It's like we're little kids. I know it's yours. I've already tried it.
It's mine.
All right. HJ.
I'm branching out on you.
I'm kind of afraid of this one a little bit.
Yeah, it's not something to be afraid of. It's just a debate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, we don't like debate here.
Yeah,
I mean, well, what the hell is this?
It's the Dr. DAF show. It's
is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, and okay, just
what's it on? Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube, okay. Right? You know, you're on YouTube and these things pop up.
Sure.
You're just like, is this really what I think it is? Is this like really in depth? This was like an hour and a half of debate. So
really,
I mean,
you watched the whole thing. You did. You had to watch the whole
thing. I had to watch the whole thing, right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, an hour and a half worth it. No, I didn't sit through all of it because they have like five topics they go through. You know, it's always the, you know, the conservative and the liberal topics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually, you know, is about, you know, being woke. Is it good? You know, Trump administration, good or bad, you know? And the thing that I liked about this was, you know, You typically think of, you know, black women, not as conservative women necessarily.
Right, you don't. But plenty are, right?
So it's like, it's always interesting then, the white women on the other side. It's like, are they really going to go after, you know, these black women? Mm-hmm. Because as liberals, it's like kind of, you're not allowed to touch that. It's like, you're not allowed to, you know, attack black women, you know?
Right.
So, but the debate was actually very good. Like they both, like you could tell, like the conservative issues versus the liberal issues were really what they focused in on. They weren't they didn't like attack each other. So as far as the debate goes, I was very happy to say, like, these seven women, there were four, three conservative and four liberal, just happened to be that way. It wasn't like a gang up or any way. But I just think in today's culture that if we can sit down and have these debates, and that's why I watched it mostly, because I was like, can this actually be a civil debate? And it was. I mean, I don't know how much of it they cut out, to be honest with you. I don't know how much, like, if it got really heated, like they just cut it out.
Right.
You never know.
Right.
But I figured in an hour and a half, you would get the gist of what the debate was about. And I'm happy to say that it was worth my time. And if you're into debates, like, I can't debate with my wife because, you know, I tend to be a little bit more conservative. I wouldn't consider myself a conservative, but more conservative than my wife, who's liberal. She will not have a debate with me about this stuff.
Right.
So I have to find something on the internet where I hear these topics being debated. And that's how I have debates, not with myself.
So what if you want to debate with the women? So what you're saying is you can't talk to your wife about anything, so you have to turn to YouTube.
And it works. It was an excellent outlet for a debate on the issues between liberals and conservatives. Nobody got punched. Nobody got thrown off the stage. Nobody walked.
I don't want to watch it.
Nobody walked out. It was just a good debate on the issues. And I think it really does highlight the differences between everybody. And I'm hoping that by having dialogue and debates like that, and they have a lot of them on that Dr. DAF show, it's just something that I picked up. It's not like something that I've been watching for a very long time. It just happened to be there and I happened to watch it. I would probably watch some of the other ones, though. But that one, I would say, if you're on YouTube and you're in that sort of thing, absolutely worth your time to check out at Dr. DAF.
All right. Listen, guys, if you're still with us, thank you. Go to theporcheslive.com, register, watch our live show, listen to the podcast, watch shorts and more, theporcheslive.com. And of course, if you're on YouTube watching us right now and you haven't already done this, hit that subscribe button at the Sports Porch One, not the Sports Porch One, at the Sports Porch Podcast. and click the notifications tab as well. You'll know when we're live, which is every Monday night at 7 p.m.
We're moving up to 7, people.
We're moving up to 7 p.m.
Hit that bell. It'll automatically go off. So when we come on, heaven. Boom.
OGSportsPorch@gmail.com. That is our email. That is where you can send us anything you want. We will read the email. I read all the email. And again, if you got swag from us, take a picture, send it to OGSportsPorch@gmail.com. Wearing the swag, the towel, the hat, the shirt, the bag, whatever you want. Picture of either you, your loved one, a friend, somebody you want to make fun of. It doesn't matter. Send us the picture. You might get a little bottle of Nashville hot rub from us.
Hey, Brad, if you're thinking about coming out next season, you know, there's this thing called the draft.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing a lot with that. Believe it or not, October, it's starting to approach crunch time. So hopefully in the next 4 weeks,
you saw the NFL put out their stuff.
Oh, and now all over social media, everybody's announcing it. So everybody's going to be a part of this. We're going to be a part of it as well. I'm going to leave you tonight with this, guys. This is a new segment. I'm going to call it Think About It.
We got our whole segment. Boy. I thought we were saying goodbye.
Yeah, we are going to say goodbye. Okay. Think about
Play
it.
Play the music. This Fine. Is it. Don't do it.
Think about it. I just saw this.
God help us.
I saw this on, and it is not sports related.
God help us.
But I just want you to read this. This is from an Instagram account called History Feels. I have to give them credit.
History Feels.
Think about it. In 1952, claims that smoking caused cancer caused Kent Cigarettes to come out with an asbestos filter to protect its smokers.
That was really smart.
Any thoughts on that?
I think they are out of business now.
And he thought, yep, that's about it.
It'll be the vaping.
That's about it. Schwaber has.
It's a fail.
a big fail.
I just want you to think about
it. You tried
that.
Something and it's a fail. Listen, it's okay.
I just want you to think about that. I mean,
where's the FDA when you need them?
All right. Listen, guys, we're going to wrap the show up right now before. And Mike Lawrence actually says that was brilliant. Exactly.
Brilliant. So somebody actually appreciates you.
Thank you for watching the Sports Porch.
Mike Black moved
and
over
gold.
To YouTube. Good all job, right. Mike. That's right. A good idea. We're heading over to YouTube.
Thanks for watching the Sports Porch Black and Gold edition all over the world right now on Facebook, YouTube, and X. And of course, I'm going to drop this podcast right after the show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your friggin' podcasts. I was going to say podcasts.
I don't know. Remember, you're a technical director, not an idea guy.
That's exactly right. I'm a horrible idea guy. A horrible idea guy. All right, guys, we will see you Monday, 7 p.m. next week, Eastern Time. For the Grand Schwabini across from me in the basement studios, for Hockey Jesus down here below me, right next to me in the studios, I'm your technical director, and I am out. Jablonsk.